Overtime on the Fantasy Football Foursome, still breaking down Week 15 games for Trenchum and Benchum, and it's over to you, Justin. Tampa Bay taking on the Chargers.
Well, I'm going to start it off with a tasty little nugget. Lyle left off with the Buffalo Bills game. One of the things I like to look at during draft season, which is a long ways off, but I'm always looking for trends or comparisons, comparables like everyone. And one that I see right now, and it's crazy, but you remember Josh Allen in his rookie year and kind of how that went out in Buffalo and the things that you saw and then his value the next year in drafts and redraft leagues. And he was a late round guy who could run and had a hose for an arm, but a little bit of accuracy concerns, hadn't done a ton passing. Drake May, I think, is the closest thing to that for next year. Drake May is a guy that I'm going to target late in my drafts as my second quarterback who might be able to find a whole nother level in season two. Okay, let's talk about the game. I had Tampa Bay against, who was it again, John?
The Chargers.
Yeah. I asked who was it because people don't ever think about the Chargers. They struggle to get a fan following, but I think that's starting to change. Harbaugh's really got them playing good football, despite some tough losses, and just an above-average running back. I think they got one or two more wins than they do right now. But that being said, I can't trench anyone other than Herbert and McConkey in this game, staying away from the running back position, staying away from the rest of the receivers. If McConkey goes, it looks like he's probably going to play this week, but he's in the trenches if he does, as is Herbert. Stay away from Palmer. Don't get crazy in the playoffs. And then on the Tampa Bay side of the ball, Baker's in the trenches. Rashad White is in the trenches. Whether Bucky Irving plays or not, I'll be honest, if Irving plays, I know how good he's been, but after what happened last week, I don't think I can gamble on it again. So I'm if I have any other option, like a Garendo or an Allen for the Jets or even the Davis potentially, I'm going to play them instead. Mike Evans in the trenches. Kate Otten, I think they need him in this game. I'm throwing him in the trenches in tight end mandatory leagues. And that is it. I'm not going to chase McMillan this week after last week, outside of, you know, injury desperation type play. If you're looking waiver wire type guy, you need someone, that's the only way he's getting into my lineup is if I'm in that situation. I'm staying away from Tampa Bay's defense. I will trench the Chargers' defense, so I forgot to mention that. And that's it for this game.
Chargers favored by 3. Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, well, finally a good game to break down, except there isn't a ton of starters in it, really. Pittsburgh Steelers, I think you can start. Oh, man. Who do you start? I want to say...
You start them all, John. I've been watching people not start their Steelers. Russell Wilson is a must trench.
I know, but I think he's a super flex trench only, man. Philadelphia's D is spectacular. And I don't think Pickens plays this week, so who does that leave to catch passes? Well, maybe Mike Williams is a throw-your-hands-up flex. I don't know. Yeah, you're starting Najee, and if you're desperate, I think Jaylen Warren. I just don't know what's going on with this team. I got to be honest, I don't follow the Steelers a whole lot. And I hate the Eagles. Man, I hate the Eagles. But what a good football team that is now kind of turned into as the world turns over there. A.J. Brown just crying that he's not getting targets. Well, I truly think that he's just being a brat. I mean, he was the big thing in Philadelphia, and all of a sudden the new kid comes to town, Saquon Barkley, and nobody's talking about A.J. Brown anymore. Okay, so you're starting Jalen Hurts. You're starting Barkley for sure. You're starting Brown. I just don't know if Jalen Hurts is going to throw the ball to him 22 times in the first quarter. I don't know. But you've got two good defenses. You've got two pretty good offenses. And this is a real head-scratcher. And maybe you got to start some Grant Calcaterra. He got in the end zone for you last week. Maybe he does it again. I don't know. But I'm not big on Devonta Smith this week. I don't know. I'm going to watch this game, but I'm not sure. There's rain in the forecast, and Philadelphia is favored by 5.5 points at home. That brings us to Sunday Night Football, Jack, and you get Green Bay taking on Seattle.
Man, I'll tell you right now, I'll take Steelers in the 5.5, man. You don't beat Mike Tomlin by 5.5. Just, I mean, yep. And in the rain, that's Steeler football, man. The Eagles ain't that good. All right, here we go. For the Green Bay side, it's pretty simple. Josh Jacobs, RB1, love this guy to death. Jordan Love, you could start him. He's right at the fringe of the QBs where I wouldn't go much farther down the line than him. He's right there to me at the maybe like the Drake May area where he's good. He's going to get you double-digit points. But he's not thrown for 300 yards all year in spite of playing in the NFC North where you got to win games and put up big points. And you've got a porous Minnesota secondary, and you can score on Detroit. And he's got such wide receiver weapons, and the dude hasn't thrown for 300 yards all season. So he's not going to win you your fantasy league, but you know, he's right at the cusp of QBs where I stop. So I got him on the bench. You may have him in the trench. Reed is the receiver that I trust. Him and Watson, it's a coin toss, but I would go Reed. And literally, John, when I look at their receivers in DFS and different things I do, it is literally like throwing a dart and seeing which one it hits because it's very difficult to predict who his flavor of the week is going to be. But they're going to it's against Seattle. It is a Sunday night game. They got some TV on them. Tucker Crafton, tight end, mandatory. The Green Bay defense has been serviceable all year. There are better options this week. I like the Falcons against Vegas better. But the Green Bay defense has been serviceable if that's a place you need to go for your defensive. On to the Seattle side of the ball. Seattle's one of those teams that's really hard to predict because they're either like killing it or getting killed. If Kenneth Walker's healthy, he's in the trenches. If not, Charbonnet becomes RB1, and he's an absolute must start. Geno Smith, I've got him ranked higher than Jordan Love, so he's probably in the trenches. You can score on Green Bay. They're not a threat to keep you from scoring, especially when you're in Seattle. Jackson Smith and Jigba, heard you talk about him while during, I think it was DFS play. He's a great start this week. I think he's in there for sure. Metcalf questionable. Lockett's been just non-existent, right? So, and then you've got kickers and defense, which I think you can bench all of those in these. I don't think you need to start any of them. But I like the running game, the QB and Jackson Smith and Jigba, and I love the running game in Green Bay. So this should be a good football game to watch.
Green Bay favored by 2.5 points. Doubleheader on Monday Night Football, Lyle. Chicago taking on the purple.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna start on the home side here with the Vikings because it's a lot easier to figure out which Vikings you want to play, which is pretty much all of them because Sam Darnold's a top 12 quarterback. And shocker, who would have thought that at the beginning of the year that he was going to have a hundred? Oh yeah, somebody's pointing on the screen here, but I don't know if you really thought he was going to be a top 12 quarterback, but. Mr. Jennings seems to think he knew this all along.
I was
but,
a fan of Jameis Darnold when that wasn't cool.
Anyway. Yeah, well, Jameis for sure. The Jameis Darnold part, I think, I don't know if we were all that hopeful that he would have 11 weeks with a 100-plus quarterback rating. Yeah, first time the Vikings quarterback has ever done that. Yeah, everybody knew that.
I knew it.
Anyway, you're still playing him. You're playing Aaron Jones. The fumble issue hopefully has been resolved for a little while. Justin Jefferson's must start, but Jordan Addison's been the emergence, right? So last five games, he's had 6 touchdowns. He's crept up to, I think, wide receiver 21 in PPR format. So he's a must start now. TJ Hockenson, it's been hit or miss. He's still getting targets, though. I think if you're in a PPR setup, I'd play TJ. I think he's back in top 12. And you're definitely playing that Vikings D, which has been top 5 all season. Chicago is where it gets cloudy. You know, starting with Caleb Williams, you know, technically he's thrown 7 touchdowns and no interceptions the last 3 weeks. Does that mean you're going to play him this week against the Vikings, the team he lit up 3 weeks ago? That one is a real roll of the dice for me this week. I think I'm going to keep him on the bench this week. I think the road environment makes this one a little more difficult for Caleb than it was 3 weeks ago at Soldier Field. I am playing DJ Moore. He has definitely heated up here the last month. I think he's a safe wide receiver, too. And I like Keenan Allen over Rome Odunze, even though I know Odunze had 2 touchdowns last week. That was just a mess of a game against San Francisco. And Keenan Allen is a known Viking killer. So I'm playing him. I'm not playing Cole Kmet, and I am definitely staying away from that Chicago Bear defense.
You guys got to quit telling people to start Keenan Allen. It's been like 5 years now.
No.
Here's the deal. You're the biggest Keenan Allen champion.
Here's the deal. Jack? Keenan Allen will get 10 targets this game.
Yep.
Catch 2 of them. Just like last year.
So I mean, it's a Minnesota station. I want to talk a little bit about this game, too. John, real quick, sorry. Sure. One, let's not forget Keenan Allen came out as a veteran player who's very intelligent, who has no reputation for doing this, and has made vocal complaints about the coaching side of the ball on that team. So they're a little bit in disarray right now on that Chicago side. And they could go south, even further south here, kind of in a hurry. On the Vikings side, with Sam Darnold, everyone's talking about what are the Vikings going to do with them. I do think this is a pretty simple answer. I think they franchise tag him. J.J. McCarthy is coming off a season-ending injury as a rookie, so you haven't got to watch him a whole lot in padded practices and things like that. You almost get yourself an extra year. And then if Darnold, you know, regardless of how this season ends, if he repeats next season, then you make that decision. But it's, you can't let a top five quarterback in the league right now just walk out the door.
I understand.
You can. You sure can.
Oh, you shouldn't. Yeah. You shouldn't.
I mean, you, okay.
What would be better than having Sam Darnold as your QB2? You know?
Can do anything you want. You should not. The Vikings have no reason to let him just walk out the door at the end of the season.
If he wins a playoff game, Justin, if he wins a playoff game, then I think you have to keep him and let JJ have a healthy year underneath him or something like that and cut bait on Dan Jones. I'm with you, but I don't think he wants to sign a 1-year deal with anybody. So I just don't know what they do.
They franchise tag him.
Yeah.
You just franchise tag him. If you let Daniel, at the end of the year, if they don't do something with Daniel Jones, they're going to get a compensatory pick, which they need. They only have 3 picks in the draft.
I can see that happening, but that's just going to throw a wrench into how they handle their offseason with their free agent money, too. So if they could sign him and flip him quick and still have their $75 million to play around with free agency, I'd love it.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm with you on that. Well, last game, the second of the two on Monday night, and that would be Atlanta taking on the Raiders, Justin.
All right. Well, as much as I championed in daily play, do not put Kirk Cousins, Kirko Chains, in your lineup if you are putting a lineup together. That means you're playing for something. And Kirko Chains is not in your lineup this week. Darnell Mooney and Drake London likely are. They're at least flex. Or, you know, in lineups nowadays, you generally have 3 wide receivers. They're in your lineup in almost any team, I think, especially with the matchup. Kyle Pitts is not. Let it go. Let it go. Don't put him in your lineup. Play anyone else. Play Noah Gray over Kyle Pitts this week. Play Seattle's backup tight end over Kyle Pitts this week. Bijan Robinson better be in your lineup. Definitely get him in there, 100. And I will trench that Atlanta defense this week as well. and if you're decimated by injuries, Tyler Algier, absolutely. This is a week where, you know, him or Justice Hill, if you're making that kind of decision, or Tyler Algier or Jacksonville running back, honestly, I'll play Algier in this game. I think he gets a good run in the second half. On to the other side of the ball, Brock Bowers. And that's it. I mean, people love Sincere McCormick. If you are having to play Zamir White or whatever running back on that team, and I'll play him over like a Justice Hill. I would play Tyler Algier over Sincere McCormick this week, though. So Brock Bowers is really the only guy I'm trenching this week on the Raiders. And that's it, John. Pretty simple.
Sincere is an RB1 on my team. Sincere McCormick. I'm being sincere about that.
I'm starting him in sleeper or in our dynasty league. I like the guy. Atlanta favored by 3.5 points, and that brings overtime to an end. What's up, Jack?
I'm just going to tell you, Kirk, 400 yards, 5 passing touchdowns, best game of the year coming right now.
Yeah, I'm playing him in daily, just not in fantasy playoffs.
No, I hear you. Just letting you know, it's happening.
Okay, that's fair. That's going to bring overtime to an end on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week on The Loon.